Hi, I'm David Walker and welcome to the Brain Tumor Podcast. If you haven't listened to one of these podcasts before, the aim is to educate and inform. It's to provide much needed information for those wishing to find out more about brain tumors. Please, if you like the show, leave us a good rating. In that way, more people get to hear about us and therefore more people will be potentially helped by the information in the podcast. Now, on to today's episode. Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the second series of the Brain Tumor Podcast. Today I want to talk about cerebral lymphomas, and specifically the most common type of lymphoma, that is a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. It's something that's confined to the brain at presentation by definition, and what I'm not going to talk about are much less common things, that is lymphomas arising from the dura or intravascular B-cell lymphomas or lymphomas of T-cell or NK cell origin, as well as lymphomas that have systemic involvement or are secondary to lymphomas elsewhere in the body. And I'm not also going to talk about immunodeficiency-associated primary lymphomas, which can be associated with inherited immunodeficiency conditions or acquired conditions such as HIV. Now, lymphomas can occur anywhere in the body, and they're tumours of lymphatic cells, so that lymphocytes, I should say, not lymphatic cells, but lymphocytes. And specifically, this type of lymphoma, the common one in the brain, is one that arises from B cells. The other major type of lymphocyte is a T cell, if you're not already aware of that. But primary CNS lymphomas account for just only a small percentage of primary brain tumours, probably 2 to 3% of all primary brain tumours. And so they're particularly uncommon. They generally occur in elderly adults, in the fifth to seventh decades of life. And they can occur at any age, but they're very uncommon in children and young adults. The median age is in the late 50s somewhere, and males are affected a little bit more commonly than females. We are not aware of any particular known cause of cerebral lymphomas, particularly in immunocompetent individuals, that is, people have a normal immune system. They generally occur in the supratentorial space, that is, the main part of the brain, and they can affect the frontal lobe, the temporal lobe, the parietal lobe, or the occipital lobe, and also can affect the basal ganglia, and the deep structures in the brain. They do have a particular propensity for being deep-seated and also to be adjacent to the ventricular system, that is the fluid-filled cavities in the deep parts of the brain. Most of the time, two-thirds of the time, a single tumour is present, but in about a third of cases there are multiple tumours, usually adjacent to each other. Generally speaking, people will present with cognitive decline or sort of psychomotor deterioration or focal neurological deficits such as weakness of one side of the body or visual disturbance. It's more common to have these sort of problems, which are really focal neurological deficits in one way or other or the other, than raised intracranial pressure, which cause, such as headaches or seizures or cranial nerve problems. MRI is the best investigation for these tumours. On T1 images, they are generally low density, that is hypo-intense, but they do enhance densely with contrast. And on T2 images, they are generally iso-intense or perhaps hyper-intense. Basically, they are very cellular tumours, and that's why they have those appearances on T1 and T2 weighted imaging. Edema around the tumours is actually fairly limited most of the time compared to glial tumours or secondary tumours. So we often can get an idea of the nature of the tumour by the location and the lack of edema. Often if a person started on steroid treatment, the tumours can actually vanish really quickly, sometimes within hours, but certainly within days. And that can be an indicator about the nature of the tumour based on imaging. The diagnosis, though, is made on biopsy. There's actually no role for resection. If a tumour, a brain tumour is suspected to be a CNS lymphoma, tumour resection is not indicated. Biopsy is the way to go. So it's stereotactic biopsy is the gold standard for establishing the diagnosis. It's actually very important to withhold corticosteroids, that is dexamethasone and the like, before biopsy, because these drugs can rapidly induce apoptosis or cell death within a lymphoma and can make the diagnosis really difficult and prevent the diagnosis on biopsy in as many as 50% of the cases. And I've certainly had that problem and seen it in years gone by. So if we suspect lymphoma in a patient based on clinical and imaging grounds, we withhold a dexamethasone until such time we do the biopsy. As I mentioned, tumour resection is not indicated. There's no evidence at all that patients will survive better with a tumour resected compared to biopsy. Now, when a pathologist looks at it, and it looks at the specimen under the microscope, there's a fairly typical appearance. They're very cellular, patternless tumours. There's some necrosis often, and the cells often invade around blood vessels. The cells themselves are large and look lymphocytic in nature. They're round cells or round to oval cells, and they have round, big nucleus. A nuclei, I should say, with prominent nucleoli. That's the typical cellular morphology. The diagnosis is confirmed by immunohistochemistry testing showing the cells in the tumour are mature B cells, which is, as mentioned, the typical pattern. Now, prognosis is worse in elderly people. Over 65 is a bad sign and a major negative prognostic factor reduced survival and also increased toxicity from therapy. The treatment is largely chemotherapy, and the typical standard of treatment is a methotrexate type chemotherapy, not the sort of chemotherapy drugs that are used for glial tumours. So that's the treatment of choice most of the time. Radiation treatment can improve survival, but it definitely increases the toxicity and results in cognitive as well as other neurological complications when combined with chemotherapy. So chemotherapy alone is the primary treatment. Usually systemically, that is intravenously, but occasionally as well via lumbar puncture. It depends on the centre, the oncologist, and the patient. Now, most treatment protocols will result in a median survival of around 3 years and a progression-free survival of around 12 months. As I mentioned before, elderly patients tend to do much worse. So there we have it, a cerebral lymphoma, the most common type being a diffuse large B-cell variety, a tumour that is uncommon but is common enough that we recognise the typical clinical radiological patterns, the treatment being chemotherapy rather than surgery. Thanks for listening. The information in this podcast is general in nature, and it's not a substitute for the medical advice that you get from your own doctors. I'm not able to provide specific information or advice relating to your condition or anyone's individual condition in this podcast. But if you do have suggestions or feedback, please let me know and send me an email at professordavidwalker@brisbane.com.au. That's all small case, professordavidwalker@brisbane.com.au. Thanks very much. Have a great day.